Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and here with Sekhaz Bab Basra, Daf Base, the first Perek Hashu Tafin. This Perek has been generously sponsored with Zeich Nishmas Avram Ben Yitzchak. May his neshama have an aliyah and his eschus for Rufua Shlema for Alter Ben Sion Wolf Ben Tzipora. I want to welcome all the new members that are joining us and wish everyone continued Hatzlacha as we now begin the 23rd Masechta in this Daf Yomi Machzor. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening Mishnah states, Hashutafim shiratzu lasos mechitza b'chatzer, partners who agreed to make a partition in a courtyard they previously owned jointly. Bonias akosel be'emsa, build the wall in the center with half of the wall on each partner's land. The building materials and depth of the wall follow the local custom, as the Mishnah illustrates. Since each must provide the land and materials for half of the wall, lafichach im nafla akosel, therefore, if the wall eventually fell, the place and the fallen stones are assumed to belong equally to both. The Mishnah continues that similarly, in a gina, a garden, in a locale where people customarily build partitions between gardens, each partner must contribute half the land and materials. However, babika, regarding a valley, in a locale where people do not customarily build partitions, we do not require the partners to contribute to a wall. If one chooses to build a wall, konas letok shalo ubona, he must enter it into his own field and build it, and marks the outside of the wall to indicate it is his. Then, if it later falls, the place and stones are his. Point number two, the Gemara analyzes the first clause of the Mishnah and explains, my mechitza, what is the mechitza the partners agreed to make? Guda, a wall. This usage is demonstrated from a Mishnah. This implies that they are only required to build a wall if they agree to do so, but if one party want to mark the border with wooden pegs, he's not compelled to build a wall. Amma hezek ria lashme hezek, we see from here that visual damage by seeing a neighbor's private activities is not considered damage, so he's not required to avoid it. The Gemara asks, perhaps the word mechitza here means pluksa, a division, meaning that by merely agreeing to divide the property, each party must contribute towards building a wall, because hezek ria is considered damage. It answers that if so, the Mishnah would have simply said shiratzu l'chatzos, who agreed to divide, not who agreed to make a mechitza. In another version of the next daf, the Gemara does interpret mechitza as pluksa, teaching that after merely dividing the property, they are required to build a wall because hezek ria is hezek. And point number three, the Gemara asks a series of questions challenging the assertion that hezek ria is not considered hezek, and concludes with five exceptions where a wall must be built. Number one, a gina. A garden requires a wall because Rav forbids standing by someone's field which contains a standing crop, lest he harm it with an ayin hara. Number two, nafal, a pre-existing wall which collapsed must be rebuilt, since they originally agreed to build a wall. Number three, hezekah the rabim, damage from the public gazing into a common courtyard is definitely damage, and all residents must contribute to a wall. Number four, hezekah the bias, visual damage to a home is definitely damage, since private activities are commonly done there, so one cannot construct a wall at a height from which he can gaze in to his neighbor's window. And number five, gag hasamuch chatzor chavero. If one's roof adjoins his friend's courtyard, he must build a fence four amos high because the chatzor's owner can say, lididi kvili tashmishi, for me, my use of the area is regular, as opposed to your use of the roof, and I do not know when you're coming to conceal my private activities. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the opening Mishnah states, hashutafin shiratzi lasos mechitza bochatzor, partners who agreed to make a partition in a courtyard they previously owned jointly, bonius akosel be'emsa, build the wall in the center with half of the wall on each party's land. The building materials and depth of the wall follow the local custom, as the Mishnah illustrates. Since each must provide the land and materials for half of the wall, lafichach im nafla akosel, therefore, if the wall eventually fell, hamakum v'avanim shel shnehem, the place and the fallen stones are assumed to belong equally to both. The Mishnah continues that similarly, in a gina, a garden, in a locale where people customarily build partitions between gardens, each partner must contribute half the land and materials. However, babika, regarding a valley, in a locale where people do not customarily build partitions, we do not require the partners to contribute to a wall. If one chooses to build a wall, konas letok shalo ubona, he must enter it into his own field and build it, and marks the outside of the wall to indicate it is his. Then, if it later falls, the place and stones are his. Point number two, the Gemara analyzes the first clause of the Mishnah and explains, my mechitza, what is the mechitza the partners agreed to make? Guda, a wall. This usage is demonstrated from a Mishnah. This implies that they are only required to build a wall if they agree to do so, but if one party want to mark the border with wooden pegs, he's not compelled to build a wall. Amma hezek ria lashme hezek, we see from here that visual damage by seeing a neighbor's private activities is not considered damage, so he's not required to avoid it. The Gemara asks, perhaps the word mechitza here means pluksa, a division, meaning that by merely agreeing to divide the property, each party must contribute towards building a wall, because hezek ria is considered damage. It answers that if so, the Mishnah would have simply said shiratzu l'chatzos, who agreed to divide, not who agreed to make a mechitza. In another version of the next daf, the Gemara does interpret mechitza as pugsa, teaching that after merely dividing the property, they are required to build a wall because hezek ria is hezek. And point number three, the Gemara asks a series of questions challenging the assertion that hezek ria is not considered hezek and concludes with five exceptions where a wall must be built. Number one, a gina. A garden requires a wall because Rav forbids standing by someone's field which contains a standing crop, lest he harm it with an ayin hara. Number two, Nafal, a pre-existing wall which collapsed must be rebuilt, since they originally agreed to build a wall. Number three, Hezekah the Rabbim, damage from the public gazing into a common courtyard is definitely damage, and all residents must contribute to a wall. Number four, Hezekah the Bias, visual damage to a home is definitely damage, since private activities are commonly done there, so one cannot construct a wall at a height from which he can gaze in to his neighbor's window. And number five, Gag Hasamuch Chatzor Chavero. If one's roof adjoins his friend's courtyard, he must build a fence four amos high because the Chatzor's owner can say, Lididi Kvili Tashmishi, for me, my use of the area is regular, as opposed to your use of the roof, and I do not know when you're coming to conceal my private activities. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Beis, and our standard Siman is a house. A house, so here goes. The owner of one of the houses in a Chatzor was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the Chatzor. Was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezek Ria, Lashme Hezek, and explained that the wall their neighbors built between their gardens was lest a neighbor harms it with Ayin Hara. So once again, it's a motion. The owner won the house's house. That must run Daf base, bias, house. The owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, which reminds us, the opening mission states, Ashutafim shiratzu lasus mechitza b'chatzur, partners who agreed to make a partition in a courtyard they previously owned jointly, bonus lakosu b'emsa, build the wall in the center with half the wall on each partner's land. So the owner of one of the houses in Ochatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the Chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezek Ria, Lav Shmei Hezek, which reminds us. The Gemara analyzes the first clause of the mission and explains, my mechitza, what is the mechitza the partners agreed to make? Guda, a wall. This usage is demonstrated from a mishnah. This implies that they are only required to build a wall if they agree to do so. But if one partner wants to mark the border with wooden pegs, he's not compelled to build a wall. Alma Hezek Ria, Lav Shmei Hezek, we see from here that visual damage by seeing a neighbor's private activities is not considered damage, so he's not required to avoid it. The Gemara asks that perhaps the word mechitza here means pluksa, a division, meaning that by merely agreeing to divide the property, each party must contribute towards building a wall, because Hezek Ria is considered damage. So the owner of one of the houses in Ochatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the Ochatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezek Ria, Lav Shmei Hezek, and explained that the wall their neighbors built between their gardens was lest a neighbor harms it with Ayin Hara, which reminds us, the Gemara asks a series of questions challenging the assertion that Hezek Ria is not considered Hezek and concludes with five exceptions where a wall must be built, one of them being a gina, a garden requires a wall because Rav forbids standing by someone's field which contains a standing crop, lest he harm it with Ayin Hara. So once again, the owner of the houses in Ochatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the Chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezek Ria, Lav Shmei Hezek, and explained that the wall the neighbors built between their gardens was lest the neighbor harms it with Ayin Hara. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. So the Siman Daf Kuf Tes Zayin is haircuts, and we use a barber in the Siman. So here goes. The barber, that must be on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Hair cuts. The barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkin which he kept among his scissors and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once sees a shechita knife as a mashkin and a bai told him to return it since it's used for food preparation and then he should go to Beis Din to claim his debt, which he would have to prove. Rava said he does not need to bring proof and may claim up to the knife's value. Since it was in his possession and no edim saw him take it, he could have claimed he had bought it. Since he didn't, he must be telling the truth that this debt is owed to him, provided it's not more than the knife's value. So the barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, which reminds us the 10th parak begins, Habayis Valiyah Shel Shnayim Shenafu. If a ground floor and an upper story belonging to two people collapsed, they both divide the wood, stones, and earth based on the relative heights of the two structures, and we assess which stones were most likely to break and distribute the stones accordingly. So the barber sees the butcher's shikita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Basin to prove his claim. Offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, as well as to the neighbor renting the upper story of the house next door, which partially collapsed and was now living downstairs with the homeowner until repairs were made, which reminds us, the next mission states that if a rented upper story partially collapsed and the homeowner does not want to repair it, the tenant of the upper story may descend and live in the lower apartment until the homeowner repairs the upper story. Rav Yossi says the tenant is responsible to provide the plaster which covers the ceiling. Rabbi explains the case as Baruba, where most of the four collapsed, but Shmuel says it applies even Bar Abba, where only four square tefachim of four collapsed. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, so the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys for his front door. Gabbai, keys? That must run Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that if a rented upper story collapses, the tenant may move into the landlord's lower apartment. Rabbi Abba Bar Amar asked three questions about this fight, one of them being, assuming that they share the apartment, can the tenant use the ground floor entrance, or must he use his former entrance to the upper apartment and then descend into the lower apartment? Perhaps the tenant can argue, although I originally agreed to make an ascent into my apartment, I didn't accept to make an ascent and descent to enter my apartment. So the gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident about two people living on two stories, where the plaster of the upper story deteriorated, so that when the upper resident washed his hands, the water would flow to the lower story and damage the property there. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said the upper resident must fix the plaster, but Rabbi Chiya Bar Rabbi Yossi said the lower resident must fix it. The Gemara explains that the first holds on Mazigal Harkin Gatsasman and Nizak. It's the damager's responsibility to distance himself from the property being damaged, so he must repair the plaster to avoid damaging. The second opinion holds it's the Nizak's responsibility to avoid the damage, so he fixes the plaster. So, the gabbai wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, wondered how the upper owner was doing who rebuilt and lived in the lower floor of a building that the lower owner refused to rebuild, which reminds us. The next mission states that if a two-story building owned by two people collapse, and the lower owner refuses to rebuild the lower apartment, the upper owner may build the lower apartment, and he may live in it until the lower owner pays him expenses. Rebuta objects, Av zed dar betoch shel chavero, even this is a case of one living in his fellow's property, sarik l'halos l'schar, and therefore must pay him rent, since he's benefiting from it. Rather, the upper owner builds both stories, and then may live in the lower story until his expenses are paid, since he no longer benefits by living there. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the same Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. The avid Kichel maker, Kichel, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The avid Kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, which reminds us, Rabban said Habanta Behefker, whether watching ownerless property acquires it, is a Malchokas Tanaim. A Mishnah states, Shomei Svichei Shviz, those who guard the after Grusa Shmita, to use the Omer and Shtei Alechem, are paid from the Trumas Alishka. Rav Yossi says, Harotz Misnadev, who is Shomer Chinam, whoever wants can volunteer and watch it for free. The sages respond that if so, Ein Boin, Michelle Tzibur, the offerings will not come from the community, but the watchman. Rabbi explains that the Tanakhama holds Habata acquires Hefker, so if the watchman is not paid, he will personally own the aftergross. Rabbi Yossi holds Habata does not acquire, so the public will acquire the gross when they harvest it. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which reminds us, Abai said that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon all hold, wherever the sages gave one permission to do something, vihizik, and thereby caused damage, patu, he's exempt from paying. Rabbi Shimon taught in a mission regarding safety measurements given to prevent one's oven from starting a fire that one who follows these requirements is patu from any damage which may occur. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which thankfully a neighbor noticed as he was pulling out shoots growing out of the vertical slope between the gardens, which reminds us. The final mission states regarding two gardens, one above the other, and vegetables are growing in the vertical surface between them, so their roots are in the upper garden soil, but the shoot systems are in the lower garden's airspace. Rav Meir says they belong to the higher garden's owner, since we've all the nourishment from the upper garden. Yehuda says they belong to the lower garden's owner. Rabbi Shimon has a third opinion. Anything the upper owner can stretch his hand and take belongs to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Daf Kuf Yotes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yotes is a kite. So here goes. When the Persian king saw a kite, that must mean on Daf Kuf Yotes. When the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were pater from Orla, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about shoots growing out of a trunk. In the second braisa discussing Orla, Rabbi Meir says that all shoots, whether they grow from the trunk or their roots, are subject to Orla because they're considered to be independent growth. Rabbi Yehuda says, mina geza pater, a shoot growing from the trunk is exempt from Orla because it's considered part of the original tree. Mina shrashim chai, but a shoot growing from the roots is subject to Orla. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing of a tree trunk, which were putta from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, which reminds us in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Ches on a base, Rabbi Shimon taught that whatever the upper owner can reach belonged to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. In Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, they qualified this, provided that he does not need to strain himself to be able to reach them. Two questions were asked. If the upper owner can reach its shoot, but not its roots, or he can reach its roots, but not its shoot, because it's pointed downwards, is it considered within the reach of the higher garden's owner? The Gemara concludes, Teku. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, he proclaimed, Apirion Nimtie, to that beautiful kite, which reminds us, a friend, the scribe, a Talmud Reish Lakish, said in Reish Lakish's name that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon that the upper owner keeps whatever he can reach, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Rabbi Shimon's ruling was told to Shur Malka, King Shapur, a Persian king who Rashi explains was an expert in dinim. He said, "Apriya nimtiye, with Rabbi Shimon, let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon." All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff do you discuss dividing building materials of a collapsed building of two floors belonging to two people? That's on Duff. Kuftez Zayin. Good number 2. Which duff do we discuss if we're masader regarding a pledge to Hekdish? That's on duff. Kufia Dalet. Good number 3. Which duff do we learn about three tanaim who hold that where the chachamim give rishus to do something and it leads to damage the person is pater, such as an oven on fire? That's on duff. Kufiyot Ches. Good number 4. Which duff do we have two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding shoots growing out of a trunk? That's on duff. Kufiyot Tes. Good number 5. Which daf do you discuss partners building a wall when dividing their jointly owned chatzir? That's on daf. Beis and Bava Basra. Good number 6. Which daf do you discuss an upper owner rebuilding and living in the lower apartment if the lower owner refuses to rebuild? That's on daf. Kufiyot Zayin. Good number 7. Which daf do you discuss whether habata behefer is kona, whether watching owner's property acquires it? That's on daf. Kufiyot Ches. Good number 8. Which daf do you have a case of one partner marking the border of his wall with wooden pegs, which is seeming proof that Hezek real loves Shmei Hezek? That's on daf. Beis and Bava Basra. Good number 9. Which daf do you have questions about the tenant's right to move to the lower apartment, such as using the front entrance? That's on daf. Kufiyot Zayin. Good number 10. Which daf do you have 5 cases where a wall must be built, one of them being in the garden to protect it from Ayin Hara? That's on daf. Beis and Bava Basra. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.